Good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan. I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the commission's regular meeting of October 25th, 2023. The public may listen to the meeting in real time by following the instructions listed at the top of the commission's meeting agenda currently posted on the commission's website. In addition, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. For the benefit of the public, particularly those who may be listening to the meeting by telephone, I will take a roll call so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Commissioner Barry. Commissioner Einhorn.
Here.
Commissioner Farish.
Here.
Commissioner Fuzeci.
Here.
Commissioner Goldsby.
Here.
Commissioner Granswick.
Ganswin.
I apologize.
It's not an easy, it's the DT silent.
Got it. Ganswin. Thank you. Commissioner Hankins.
Here.
And Commissioner Streeter.
Yes, here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, present. Thank you. Similarly, when the commission conducts a vote, it will be by roll. The first item today is the swearing in of Judy Ganswin as a member of the commission. Colleen Murphy will administer the oath.
Please. Get a stand and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear that you will faithfully discharge, according to law, your duties as a commissioner of the Freedom of Information Commission to the best of your ability, so help you God?
Great job, Judy. All right. The second item is consideration of the minutes of the commission meeting of October 11th. 2023. Do I hear a motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the commission's regular meeting minutes of October 11th, 2023.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
That motion's been made and seconded, and I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Abstain.
Commissioner Fuzeci.
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby.
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes. Yes, with one, two abstentions?
One
abstention.
Have you ever had this big a commission before?
No.
I don't remember having this many people at a meeting.
Couldn't need a bigger table.
We're still missing one.
Are we still missing one?
No.
Oh, my.
You get bigger quarters. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. I will call the docket. If you wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when they call it, and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in the order that they're called. First is docket number FIC 2022-0507, Gregory Weathers versus Roderick Porter, Chief Police Department, City of Bridgeport, et al. I don't think Mr. Weathers is here, is that correct?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, the complainant chose not to participate. It was withdrawal and a dismissal. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeci?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0594, Terrence Allen versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Correction, et al. I don't think Mr. Allen is going to join us. You're not there, Mr. Allen, are you? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, again, the complainant chose not to participate. It was a dismissal. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Farish?
Yes.
Mr. Fuzeci?
Yes.
Mr. Goldsby?
Yes.
Mr. Ganswin?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan? Yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2019-0376, Matthew LaVecchia versus Chairman, Board of Fire Commissioners, City of Milford, et al.
Someone's here from the City of Milford respondents.
I'm sorry, you didn't get your name?
Deborah Kelly.
Attorney Deborah Kelly?
Yes.
Thank you, Attorney Kelly.
Matthew LaVecchia.
Thank you, Mr. LaVecchia. We'll mark that ready.
Yes.
All right. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0007, Helena Cholesky versus Auditors of Public Accounts, State of Connecticut, Office of Auditors and Public Accounts, et al. That was withdrawn. Is there anyone here on that matter? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Strider, yes, the complainant had failed to appear. Dismissed. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Hankins, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Strider?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0530, Mark Lemke versus First Selectman, Town of Westport et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Nicholas Bamonte on behalf of the respondents.
Attorney Nicholas Bamonte?
Yes.
It's with a B, right?
Correct.
Thank you.
And Mark Lemke.
Thank you, Mr. Lemke. Thank you. That matter's marked ready. Next is docket number FIC 2022-0558, Marley Rudko versus Andreas Vizbikos, First Selectman, Town of Colchester, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Sarah Gleason from Shimon and Goodwin for the respondents.
Attorney Sarah Gleason?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Marley.
Say it again.
Marley Rudko for the complaint.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Wright. We mark that ready. All right. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0126, Daniel Kokoska versus O'Donovan Murphy, Director of Judicial Marshal Services. Is there anyone here on that matter?
I'm Daniel Kokoska.
Okay, would you like to be heard?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anybody else here on that matter?
Andre Darutikov.
Are you an attorney?
I am.
What's your name again?
T-A-R-U-D-I-N.
The door's shut. I didn't hear it. T-A-R-U?
D-I-N.
D-I-N. Okay, thank you, Attorney Tarutin. Sorry about that. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2023-0228, Kathleen Callahan versus Chairman, Election District Revision Commission, Town of Stratford, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, I'm Kathleen Callahan.
Thank you.
The record attorney Brian LeClaire Bertram Moses for the respondents.
Thank you, Attorney LeClaire. All right. Before we consider the cases, I will ask the Executive Director, Colleen Murphy, to please make the usual announcements.
Sure. As indicated, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety. There's no need to request a recording. We will make that recording available on our website very soon after this meeting. And if you have any trouble accessing that, just let our staff know and we'll make sure it's available. And second, pursuant to our regulations, oral arguments 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Thank you. Calling docket number FIC 2019-0376, Matthew LaVecchia versus Chairman, Board of Fire Commissioners, City of Milford, et al. Parties come forward. You're over here. Will the parties please identify themselves for the record, starting with you, sir?
Lou LaVecchia, I'm Matthew's father.
Okay.
Matthew LaVecchia.
Deborah Kelly.
Thank you. So, LaVecchia would like to begin. Matthew LaVecchia, would you like to begin?
Yeah, I would like to see if I can get the October 2nd meeting rescheduled because I wasn't aware of it. I was never notified. I don't have an attorney. And I never received a certified letter like I did before when I filed that there was going to be a meeting on this.
So you missed the hearing?
I missed the hearing.
Because it was dismissed because you didn't show.
I think this, if I'm understanding correctly, this meeting is to dismiss it. Correct?
The hearing officer's hearing, you missed that.
Yes, on the second, because I wasn't notified.
Okay. Attorney Murphy?
Well, we have an attorney, Hans Berger, on file as your attorney. There's an appearance from him, and he was sent by certified mail the notice of hearing, and the delivery records indicate that someone picked it up on September 15th. And I also understand that Mr. Hunsberger called our office yesterday and inquired along the same line. So we're not aware that, you know, who is representing you or not representing you, other than our file reflects that Attorney Hunsberger, and that is appropriately who we notified of the hearing. So that's what I can offer, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
I have a letter from Hunsberger saying that he was no longer my attorney on September 28th.
And he notified the commission.
And he notified the commission. I don't know. Can I show it to you?
You want to see it first?
I don't think we have that in our file. Is that a position?
Yes.
He was the attorney when we were notified.
It's not assigned to you. Stamped.
It's just a printout of an email he sent to me.
An email he sent?
And also, we don't have that in our file.
What was the date of that letter?
28th of September.
The letter was dated October 24th. So the hearing officer's report was mailed back on October, I think it's October 6th. So, yeah, and the notice of hearing was mailed to Attorney Hunsberger on September 5th. The records show that it was picked up on September 15th. And then this report, which reflects that Mr. LaVecchia did not appear, was sent again to Mr. Hunsberger, Attorney Hunsberger, on October 6th. So this, now dated October 24th, is, you know, well after the fact. So I'm just trying to show that we had no notice of anyone else to whom this should have been sent.
How did you know to be here today?
I was notified less than 24 hours ago.
By
Hunsberger.
Oh, I see.
Can I speak?
Mr. LaVecchia, yes, go ahead.
If you look at that letter, Mr. Hunsberger is, from that letter that I read, is he received the certified mail of the hearing on the 2nd and then immediately notified you, the board, that he was not the attorney. That's the way I read it. And then got the second letter for this meeting here, and then again notified Matthew yesterday at 3:30. And Matthew was the original complainant before Hunsberger even came in the picture. Matthew is the one who filed the complaint by himself. Matthew received certified mail throughout this whole process, and he would have surely been to that meeting had he been notified. Hunsberger was no longer his attorney, and Hunsberger made the contact too here, saying that he wasn't. So.
Yeah, we have no record of Mr. Hunsberger contacting the commission on September 28th. There's a representation in an unsigned letter that is dated from yesterday saying that. And nothing, according to our records, indicates that it was ever mailed directly to you, Mr. LaVecchia. All of our notices indicate that they were sent to Mr. Hunsberger.
Wait,
one second. When did the notice for the first hearing go out? When did Attorney Hunsberger receive that notice?
For the hearing that was just held on October, September 5th.
So
it was sent on September 5th.
So it was mailed to Attorney Hunsberger, who at that point was counsel of record, on September 5th. And then on September 28th, he says he notified us that he withdrew.
That's what's in this letter.
It's still after he received notice.
Right. This indicates that this was picked up, that the notice of the hearing was picked up on September 15th.
Can I ask, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Do you know anything about Mr. Hunsberger and this whole thing?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. So, Mr. Hunsberger,
just identify yourself
I'm sorry.
On the record.
Thank
and that
you.
Was Commissioner Einhorn.
Thank you. Deborah Kelly, representing the City of Milford and the Board of Fire Commissioners. Mr. Hunsberger, I believe, represented the complainant from the initiation of this complaint. There was a prior complaint back in 2018, which is very dated, as is the 2019 complaint. The gist of the 2019 complaint was that the city didn't comply with the order from the final decision of the 2018 complaint, which was to produce minutes, more detailed minutes. The city's position is that it had produced these detailed minutes, that they were published, that they were provided to the complainant, and more than 30 days after that, the complainant brought this complaint through Attorney Hunsberger.
But did Mr. Hunsberger ever say to you, hey, I don't represent this guy anymore?
So when this, I believe, was initially supposed to go forward with a hearing sometime during COVID, and it didn't happen.
Okay.
And so when we were scheduled to appear in person on October 2nd, I did reach out to Mr. Hunsberger to see if we could have the matter taken on the papers as opposed to come up to Hartford,
sure.
Since I know that that had been done before, perhaps during COVID, but nonetheless. Attorney Hunsberger did indicate that he was no longer representing the complainant. However, he also communicated as much via email in trying to schedule and in saying, but he never filed a withdrawal of the appearance. I was here on October 2nd. I came here and presented before in on the merits of the underlying motion to dismiss. Really, that's what was before the commission. Attorney Hunsberger knew of it. Attorney Hunsberger did not. I don't know what communication he had with his client, but he certainly did not withdraw his appearance.
But he told you he was no longer representing him.
He did indicate that he was not representing him. Well, quite honestly, he seemed. I think he was a little bit confused as to what matter this was, and he didn't think he was representing him anymore. But nonetheless, he did not. I explained to him that he should then withdraw his appearance and have his client either find new counsel or submit his own appearance. And I was the only one who showed up on the 2nd.
Thank you.
Did you happen to call him on the 2nd when he didn't appear?
I'm sorry, who?
Did you happen to call the attorney?
I did not, because he had indicated that he was not going to be here.
I'd move to continue this to the next available date. It's not Mr. Levecchia's fault, obviously. It's clearly his counsel's fault and not communicating with him. And I guess we can leave it at that, but I don't know that he should be prejudiced because of that. Is that possible? Do we have time to do
it? May I just address that? I appreciate that. Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. So Mr. Hunsberger did send me an email this morning at 12:24 a.m. to indicate that he would not be, that he was going to withdraw. And I think that's when I first saw a copy of this letter that's dated October 23rd. It's dated October 24th, yesterday, indicating that he was not going to be at this hearing, but that it was his understanding that Mr. Levecchia, who was copied on that email, was going to be here in person to request a continuance. I recommended in a return email at 12:31 a.m. to all parties in the email, Mr. Levecchia.
This is late.
Two, three, four, I don't sleep well. But in any event, I did respond to Attorney Hunsberger as well as to Mr. Levecchia that I would appreciate, since this is now the fifth time that I believe we've appeared in person before this board, that if he was going to request a continuance, he'd do so by reaching out via phone or email or something to the commission office this morning so that we didn't have to come up here. Respectfully, this is dating back to 2018. It's the fifth time we've been here. The complaint itself is untimely after 30 days. There are a number of reasons. The remedy that he's seeking isn't even to correct anything. It's to explain why, give a reason why. Like, that's not a remedy under the rules. So I'm just concerned that to come back here is just going to be another exercise in futility.
I would like to stand on my in my motion. I don't know if it was seconded, but
it wasn't just yet. Is there anything
Chair, may I speak up?
We're either going to vote, I think.
Is there anything else in the record that we should be aware of before?
No, I mean, there isn't, from our perspective, a deadline on this case, but it is, to put it in context, it is a non-compliance case, as I understand it. Our commission ordered a long, long time ago, ordered that minutes be created of an executive session. And from the papers filed, it appears that minutes were produced in response to that order. I think the complaint centers around whether those minutes were appropriate or not. And again, it dates back to probably sometime this complaint was filed in 2019. So the underlying case was back from 2018 regarding the minutes. From our perspective, I think, staff's perspective, we did everything appropriate. We would like to move this case, but I certainly understand what you've raised.
Commissioner Goldsby, can I ask a question? I'll direct it to you or Matthew. So hearing that and the background, I do understand it seems like the attorney maybe dropped the ball and there was a lot of miscommunication, so we can't do much there. But to the substance of the complaint, the hearing was to take place. It sounds like the issue, based off of what I'm hearing from the attorney, is the minutes which were produced. So what is your argument, if you can do so succinctly, as to what is deficient?
Hold on a second. Is it appropriate for us to hear?
Can we hear that or no?
I don't really think so. I don't think, honestly, that you should be speaking, as you're not the name.
It would be Matthew Levecchia. Is it appropriate to hear argument?
Yeah. That's what I wanted to know.
She wants to hear about the facts of the case.
And this is Commissioner Hankins. We're just talking about basically the sufficiency
of
sufficiency of the minutes, which the respondent has already given.
They have.
It seems like the sufficiency of the minutes is almost borderline outside the jurisdiction of this commission, even. I didn't want to steal your thunder.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at.
The problem with getting into this now, though, is that you've got a fellow who is essentially unrepresented here. I don't know if he's going to get new counsel. His counsel clearly, I don't want to say anything negative, but it's clearly counsel's fault. And I don't think it's fair to hold a hearing here on the substance of the matter. At this time, then both parties will just, particularly when the October 2nd hearing really didn't happen. So I would ask for a second on my motion and give the parties a chance to do this in the regular course.
The minutes also reflect
only. One second.
I'm going to second the motion. I'm sympathetic to the issues you've had to do with the timing, Matt. I'm also sympathetic to the fact that it sounds like we have a person who has not been, it's not clear how he's been represented. He's certainly not represented now.
Motion's been made and seconded, so now we're into discussion. Yes, Commissioner Farish.
Commissioner Einhorn, could you explain the motion again? I didn't quite catch but you withdrew it.
I didn't withdraw it. My motion was to continue the matter and to have the commission schedule a new hearing at the earliest possible date.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any further discussion?
This is Commissioner Hankins.
Mr. Hankins.
Yeah, if it's just to deal with the sufficiency of the minutes, then it seems that it's outside the jurisdiction of the commission, number one. Number two is, I don't know if there needs to be an in-person hearing for this. It could be almost taken on the papers. If you have to explain what the sufficiency is, the commission doesn't explain the sufficiency of something. And this will be the sixth time that the respondents have to come back for something that happened in 2019. So, it's almost ancient history, really. What went on in a meeting, it's been voted on, trampled on by the Milford. I think this is kind of a moot point almost, whatever it is. And also, I'm going to vote against the motion, and I do that. I don't take that lightly, but I think I would.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yeah, Commissioner Streeter. I was also going to vote against this. It sounds like, as far as the commission did everything it
you know, was supposed to do as far as notice. The attorney had a, was the person of notice on record, and the commission did everything they could, all the rules, and it's only at this late hour, the night before, that there was a letter that basically says, I'm no longer represent. Being a non-attorney on this commission, I understand there's commissioners that are attorneys that really focus on that, yeah, this is the attorney's fault, but the fact of the matter is I think that, you know, it should have been Mr., you know, the attorney Huntsberger who notified Mr. LaVecchia of these meetings, and the fact is that nobody appeared on behalf of, you know, Mr. LaVecchia, whether he knew or not that there was a meeting. The commission did what it was, you know, required by statute to notify him. So I would probably vote against that motion.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
Commissioner Goldsby, I'll just say that, I'm very empathetic to the circumstances in the situation, and I probably would have leaned the other way, but I do think, just based off of the facts and the circumstances, that I'm going to vote against the motion, just because I just don't see that there's anything we can really do. And so things are what they are. And, you know, obviously you can do things and seek something against your attorney if that's something you wish to do. I think that that's a separate issue, but that's, yeah, that's where I'm at.
I would. Is there any further discussion?
I second the motion and the intent to vote for it. And I believe we have to distinguish what we're hearing and what we should be hearing right now. There's a procedural question to get into the substance of what the original, whether how we would decide on this kind of case based on the substance. I believe we're not at that point at this point. So I believe the decision has to be made on the procedural question. I am sympathetic to the fact that public resources may have been devoted to this, including ours, including I'm also very committed that this is a quasi-judicial agency. And it's important, it seems to me, when somebody comes before us who either was confused by the notices, was somehow he's not fully represented at this point, or feels that he's not fully represented. So the procedural question on the notices is very unclear in my mind, whether the complainant was aware it timely, and therefore I believe it's important that he have either come back prepared or to protect his right to defend himself with or without counsel. And I'm sorry that extra public resources, may be needed to make that point. But the substance of what this was about cannot be part of our consideration because it's not before us.
Well, the only, Colleen Murphy, the only limitation on that or wrinkle on that, I would say, you know, we always talk about not getting into the evidence that hasn't been admitted yet, but when you're looking at situations where somebody wants to reopen a hearing and they feel like they didn't have an ample opportunity for some reason, we sometimes will ask for an offer of proof. What is it, had you had the hearing, what type of evidence would you be offering? And that would weigh into whether we want to reopen it or not. So I don't know if you want to entertain that or if you want to just end the discussion, but I just wanted to, Commissioner Goldsby was asking about it, so yes. I just wanted to kind of follow through on that thought.
Commissioner Goldsby did ask about that. I would like that information.
I think Matthew could answer that.
One second. So I'm going to ask Matthew LaVecchia if he has that information, can make an offer of proof. Right, so, Mr. LaVecchia, would you like to make an offer of proof? What is it that you would present if you were given the opportunity to have this go to hearing again? Granted, you did not show up at the first hearing because you're saying you didn't get notice. However, your lawyer got notice, and your lawyer gave up your right to be here.
Yeah, I think everybody made really good points, but he is not my attorney. So someone...
Beyond that, procedurally, he was your attorney. He got notice. Procedurally, you don't have a right to be here to argue again. But if you were given that right, if they gave you the right, what is it that you would offer in your case in chief?
The fact that...
The fact finder.
The whole reason why I'm here is because I wasn't notified of the first meeting way back in 2018.
What is it that you would offer
Hour. There was an factual. Hour. There was an hour, and they did two sentences for an hour. I would like more. What was talked about in that hour? There was seven people in that room, and the chief of the fire department wrote two lines on what was said.
What were the two lines that were written?
Again, I was notified this 24 hours ago, less than 24 hours ago. I don't have my paperwork.
Was that part
I
of,
have a question
that part of the record?
To the city attorney. If she knew, why wouldn't she email me? And she's saying it's a waste of time. Why wouldn't she just notify me about the October 2nd meeting?
This is Commissioner Hackett's question to Respondents' Counsel, if I may. Do you have a copy of the revised minutes, what they are?
So it was attached to my motion. I believe it was attached to the motion. My motion to dismiss.
Okay. So we already had that within our...
You should
permit.
Have it within your record, yes.
Okay. Assuming that I didn't see it.
Yes, they were amended minutes.
Okay.
They are attached to my motion,
okay.
Which was filed in August of 2019.
Okay.
Bear in mind that the meeting... which was originally complained of, that the minutes weren't, well, that there were no minutes because it was an executive session. And the city was ordered to recreate those minutes over a year later with commissioners that may not have been on the committee. I mean, it was obviously a difficult task. Again, not sure that we should go into the weeds of the substance here, but in essence, what was included in the minutes was to say that the complainant's arrest was discussed in executive session for purposes of informing the board that he had been arrested. No action was taken, obviously, during executive session or at that meeting. I think
all I'm trying to get at is that you filed amended minutes, correct?
We filed amended minutes.
And you appended that to your motion to dismiss, which is part of the commissioner's
correct.
File.
Yes.
Okay, maybe perhaps some of the commissioners that want to see it could see that. Not from you, but from Attorney Murphy, if we have that.
Yes, although the minutes themselves have not been marked as exhibits. It was appended to.
Right, it's an
appendix. Have that here.
It's an appendix to a motion. Mr. LaVecchia should also have received that all in due course. It used to be practice book section 120. I don't no idea what it is now.
Mr. LaVecchia, through his representative at the time, who was Mike
yeah.
Knox, received a copy of the amended minutes,
okay.
as well as a copy through his counsel, Attorney Hunsberger, of the motion itself.
Right. So there, this is Commissioner Hankin. So yes, you would have received a copy. He would have received a copy of that.
And then, if I may, the question that was asked of Mr. LaVecchia, what is he looking for? I mean, that's the bottom line here of what he was looking for in the underlying complaint. Again, the remedy that Mr. LaVecchia, through his counsel, sought in the complaint, which is the subject of the 2019 case, respectfully requests that the Freedom of Information Commission require that the respondents to answer as to the basis of the refusal to comply with the order. So I'm not even sure that it's within, respectfully, the commission's jurisdiction to request an explanation as to what action the respondents took.
This is Commissioner Hank, as I think I mentioned that, you know, during the flurry of discussion, we don't, it's beyond our jurisdiction to talk about the adequacy, for most part, about the adequacy of the minutes, just the fact that they occurred.
Attorney Kelly, do
yes.
you have before you what the commission's order was in the underlying case so we could just revisit what
do.
Our order
it, So the order, I just want to see if this is the proposed or the final. This is the final decision. The order was, and for strictly comply, forthwith the respondent shall create minutes of the executive session held during its March 20th, 2018 meeting to include a detailed account of the discussions that took place, and further shall forthwith file such minutes with the town clerk, which was done, and provide a copy free of charge to the complainant, which was done.
This is Commissioner Goldsby. It seems like, even just from hearing that and what I looked at in terms of those minutes, what do you consider detailed? Because I would agree then to Mr. Lavecchia, it's only a couple sentences. I believe it adequately responds to what took place. Whether or not, though, I wasn't the hearing officer and taking to the word detailed account, when I hear detailed account, that means this person said this, that person said that, this person said this, that person said that. And I think then there should be more based on that order, just based off of my plain understanding of what that means. And not even just an attorney, but, yeah.
Mr. Street, but you know, that you cannot make somebody do that detailed minutes. You really should only be doing it. Either action minutes or minutes to surprise what happens. You cannot require any agency to make verbatim minutes. Or
not verbatim, but detailed.
To me, that sounds detailed to me. And I do this.
It's Commissioner Hankins.
He's led by termination. That's why there's a report.
Commissioner Hankins, I mean, for an executive session, that passes muster. I mean, Respondent's counsel kind of went into it beyond what I would have wanted her to talk about, you know, it was about an arrest or something like that. But I mean, that kind of goes beyond it. But I think that adequately addresses what was discussed, because we're, you know, it was a personnel matter was discussed. It dings these statutory bells, I think. And who was discussed?
That's a good point, Commissioner Goldsby. I'll take that. Yeah, I mean, it's detailed enough for an executive session. So I think I can consider that. It's just, yeah, the meaning of the word detailed to me. So I see his point, is my point.
Can I speak? Matthew Lavecchia, you had something to say, and I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, yeah. I was just saying that the whole reason that I'm here is because I was terminated because of this one of these meetings, because of the meeting that I put this FOI hearing for. I mean, I wasn't notified about it. I wasn't there to defend myself. I have no idea what was said about me in those executive sessions. I mean, they could have been total lies, and then I got terminated because of it. I just want to know what was said. I want to...
This is Commissioner Hankins. From what I understand of executive sessions, I've represented a number of public employees, I think too many perhaps, but they're invited. The subject of the executive session is invited in. So if they didn't go in, they do so at their peril.
I need to clarify that there are two meetings.
Hold on a second. This is not a coffee clinic. We're not here to just discuss this matter. So if anybody has anything to say, they're going to ask the chair, and then we'll
thank you. My apologies.
Have you finished?
Yes, I'm sorry. Okay.
Thank you. I just think it's important to clarify that there were two separate meetings that we're talking about. There was a meeting that we've been discussing now from March of 2018, where there was an executive session where no action, no votes were taken before, during, after. It was merely to give an update. There was a subsequent meeting in April, I believe it was April 19th of that same year, 2018, where there was a full hearing, which Mr. Lavecchia, through counsel, was able to attend, cross-examine witness. I mean, so there was no action that was taken at the March meeting.
Who was his counsel?
Attorney John Walsh. So there was no action taken. So we can't undo any votes that happened because there were no votes on March 30th. I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact date of the meeting. In the March meeting, there were no votes taken. It was just an update. The meat of the issue of the termination happened in April, where it was an open hearing, where Mr. Lavecchia was present, his counsel was present. There was an opportunity to examine witnesses and cross-examine witnesses. So there was no prejudice to his employment that took place in the March meeting, because that was all during open session where Mr. Lavecchia was there with counsel, that he was able to participate in a due process hearing in April. Just want that to be clear.
Mr. Chairman?
Sure. Hold on a second. Mr. Hankins?
No, I'm satisfied.
Thank you. Mr. Goldsby?
This is Commissioner Goldsby. I think we've done a lot of back and forth here. we'll be here all day if we keep talking about the same thing. My take is the backdrop of this case was about whether or not these minutes were amended as required by the hearing officer's order from this March 2018 meeting. They were, that was done. I realize that there's a procedural issue based off of whether or not your attorney notified you and all that sort of things, but based off of what Executive Director Murphy mentioned and what was offered here, I don't believe you presented us anything that would say you would have proffered anything at this hearing to change the current result. I'm empathetic and sympathetic with you based off of the detail, but for that, I'm just going to move that I move that we adopt the hearing officer's report.
Mr.
Einhorn.
I think the problem is that it's not a criminal matter, but he's entitled to counsel, and he's entitled to counsel of his choice, and his counsel failed him. And we're sitting here now doing a sort of a cursory review of what likely would have happened. And it's a little bit frightening to me that's how the judicial system, and this is quasi-judicial, works in any situation. I mean, I guess extrapolate into other situations where somebody doesn't have counsel, thought they had counsel, didn't have a chance to appear, but the presiding judge or other officer says, yeah, but you wouldn't have won anyway. And that's what we're saying. You wouldn't have won anyway. I just think out of fairness, he might not win. That's true. But he thought he had counsel. At least the counsel was given notice by the commission as the commission did the right thing, because his appearance was on file. And I just think it's really not Mr. Lovecchia's fault. Whether or not he would have won or not, I think we're pushing a little on that. But even if he would have lost, I think he's entitled to his day in court, which is his day here. And I don't know, I think we ought to give him a chance and either represent himself, but at least be properly noticed and given that opportunity. And I think that's one of the basic building blocks of our system.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak for a second.
Do any other commissioners have anything to say?
Mr. Chairman, thanks. This is Commissioner Farish. I have gone back and forth in the last few minutes, but I think Commissioner Einhorn has swayed me that I am sympathetic to Mr. Lovecchia, and that he sounds like he was not aware of the hearing, and I think we should give him that opportunity. So I would vote yes. I'm losing track of the motion, but I vote yes.
I move the motion.
Can I just speak, please?
I think
Mr. No, you may not. It's your son's case. Are there any other commissioners that would like to speak? Yes, Commissioner Goldsby.
So this is Commissioner Goldsby. I think just a point of question. Is there anything that we can do in terms of the fact that the attorney, he's not here. He was of counsel of record. He dropped the ball. Is there anything that we can do as commissioners or in the, you know, for the commission to do something against the attorney? It's not his fault. I still agree procedurally. It happened the way it was supposed to. So that's where I say I've been going back and forth as well, but this is what happens in court. If you show up, there's a court date, you're not there, case dismissed. That's how it works. Sometimes the judge agrees and sometimes they don't. So I don't think it's necessarily our fault that the attorney didn't do what he was supposed to do. So I just wonder, unless we could issue sanctions or something against him, and I don't think there's anything we could do about that.
No, I don't think so. We've created a public record, though, of the situation. So that's on record.
Commissioner, can I say something?
Yes, your father wants to speak. I want to let your father speak. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, I'll make it very, very quick here. Hunsberger did say that he contacted the commission. That letter should be at least looked for, okay, whether he did or didn't do it. That commission should reach out to him.
I think Attorney Murphy did look for it, and found him. Yeah.
I haven't searched beyond the file where it
at least contact him to say, Did you send it? And where did you send it to?
Okay.
Number one is, the meeting that we're talking about was the third illegal meeting. We're only talking about one. There was no, it was not on the agenda. Matthew wasn't invited, and they brought people in there who shouldn't have been in there to discuss it and give no testimony. The commissioners and the assistant chiefs and the chief were in there for over an hour with a two-sentence. Clearly not adequate minutes for an executive session where he wasn't invited. If he was in that meeting, it'd be adequate, but he wasn't. Right? That's number one. He did contact his current attorney, Chip Walsh, right, who would be here today and be representing him and having all the facts if he was notified less than 24 hours ago. He couldn't do it. So Matthew should at least have the opportunity to be sitting here with his attorney to discuss this, whether he's discussing closing the case or whether he's discussing what was done on October 2nd. He should at least have the opportunity to have his attorney here for that.
Matthew, back here.
I mean, I'm still, everything that was said, I think it's all truthful. I just still would like to know is why, if she knew that attorney Hasperger wasn't my attorney, why wouldn't she reach out to me? I mean, I know it's not her probably obligation, but she's saying the time was wasted. She could have just contacted me and no time would have been wasted. It would have been an easy email. I mean, all the other stuff too is just not efficient. An hour of speaking and I wasn't there, like you said. It's the same thing. I wasn't notified. I'm just asking for the, I don't see the harm in rescheduling.
Were you in the audience when they went into the executive session?
No.
Yeah. Was it on the agenda?
It wasn't on the agenda that I was being talked about, okay. So I didn't go.
Okay.
Commissioner
Goldberg. Yes,
can I just ask one question of Attorney Kelly, just to clarify, because he did make a good point. My understanding from your previous testimony was that you spoke to Attorney Hunsberger the day before the hearing. You spoke to
probably
him on the phone.
Through emails, and he had represented to me, and I probably have the email that Mr. LaVecchia either was retaining or had retained other counsel. So I had no reason to reach out to Mr. LaVecchia directly. In another
story
matter,
changed.
In
excuse
another,
me, please don't interrupt.
I didn't even hear. In another matter that I have with Attorney Walsh, I inquired whether he was representing Mr. LaVecchia before the board, before this commission, and he told me that he is not. So I wouldn't know. Mr. Hunsberger informed me that he was either had retained or would retain other counsel. I wouldn't know who to reach out to, and it's inappropriate for me to reach out to somebody represented directly who's represented by counsel. With regard to whatever record may have been sent by Attorney Hunsberger, he would have had to have copied me on anything sent to the commission, and I received nothing other than in an email, like I said, sometime around midnight today with his letter dated October 24th.
Understood. Thank you.
Do any of the commissioners have any other comments, questions? So the motion's been made and has been seconded. We had a thorough discussion of this matter. So we'll take a vote of those in favor, and the vote is in favor of Commissioner Einhorn's motion to
continue the matter and have the commission staff schedule a hearing at the earliest possible date.
Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby.
No.
Commissioner Grantswin.
No.
Commissioner Hankins.
No.
Commissioner Streeter.
No.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. So I'm not sure I've got the count right.
It's four.
It's 4-4.
It's 4-4. Fall back on Robert's rules, which is...
Flip a coin.
it fails on a tie vote.
It fails. Do we need another motion?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a amendment to the hearing officer's report to remove the second order.
So this that motion fails. This is a new motion.
This is on the original hearing officer's report to remove the second order.
Move management. Just leave it as a dismissal. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion on this new motion?
Yes. I understand that since it's not with prejudice, then Mr. LaVecchia can refile and proceed in this matter. So you're not dead in the water to nautical. You know, so you can do it.
I don't think so.
I was just going to ask, you said refile. Is it refile or just appeal this decision?
Yeah. Whatever decision. We haven't made a decision yet. You can appeal.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you
but this
said.
Is not, it's not totally, I'm sorry, this is Commissioner Hankins. What I'm saying is regardless of what happens here, you can file a new case. So over the subject matter.
Really? There isn't any statute of limitations issue and latches issue?
That's a bit of an open question because this dates back many years now.
Yeah.
So we would have to analyze that issue at this point, whether we still have jurisdiction after some.
Because we're still talking about a meeting then or something.
Yeah, but a meeting
Commissioner Ferris.
This is Commissioner Ferris. Just to understand the motion, it is to approve the dismissal but remove
this is just an amendment.
I'm sorry, an amendment to remove the number 2 complainant is admonished wording.
Correct.
Just wanted to understand that. Thank you.
So is there any further discussion on the motion to amend decision? It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor of the amendment only. The amendment only. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee.
Yes.
Commissioner Grantswin.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Olin Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. So you have an amended hearing officer's report.
Do you understand what just happened?
No, I don't.
The second point in that report was you're admonished for your failure to appear. That's been taken out.
Oh, okay.
So now it's just a now it's been reduced to just a dismissal of the matter for failing to appear. There's no admonishment.
In all fairness, of course, just looking at the hearing notice, Colleen, it says notice to Attorney Hunsberger and Deborah Kelly, so I don't know how anyone would admonish him anyway for not showing, considering the notice went to counsel. But be that as it may, we already voted on it. So.
Should that have been done before the vote?
I think it's just the captioning.
Is removed.
Yeah.
I see your favor. But there's no more.
Should that have been done before the vote to reschedule it? That should have been done before. Not after.
It doesn't matter, does it?
It does. So the vote you took to admit it was because he was chastised for not attending that meeting. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the amended hearing.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded.
I see what your point is.
Is there discussion on the hearing officer's report as amended?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I vote against it. As we've already heard, I won't go back through the arguments. The complainant never had a chance to argue his side, and that being the case, I think he deserves that opportunity. So I'd say it's a little premature to be voting on the bona fides of his application at this time.
Thank you, Commissioner Aylward. Any further discussion? Great. I'll take a roll call vote.
So just to be clear,
the decision is amended. So Commissioner Einhorn?
No.
Commissioner Farish?
No.
Commissioner Fusashi?
No.
Commissioner Goolsbee?
Yes.
Commissioner Grantswin?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, no.
Okay. Did you count them up?
So that motion fails too.
It fails, which means it fails.
It fails.
So what do we do from here?
Okay. Move on to the next matter.
That's right. Oh,
it's over. Yeah, it's over now. Do I get to appeal this? Yeah.
I think you're going to have to vote to reconsider if you want to do that.
Robert's rules, I think, require that someone who voted in the negative has to move to reconsider. I'll move to reconsider after such time as a hearing is afforded the complainant.
But
Let's reconsider the dismissal.
Wait, can you restate that, Commissioner?
I'll move to reconsider hearing officer report after such time as the complainant is given an opportunity to present his case.
I think you may need to move to reconsider your prior, maybe your prior motion.
Yes, after he's had a chance to have a hearing.
With a prior motion would be to continue the matter for another hearing.
It's similar, yeah.
So that motion is to continue the matter for another hearing again.
No, it's not. It's to reconsider that motion.
The motion to continue the matter.
It's really a motion to continue.
A reconsideration.
That's what I would think. But
it's really the same thing, I suppose. A motion to reconsider. Pragmatically, it's the same thing. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I would like to vote on this, but I don't understand.
I'll withdraw my motion to reconsider. As Colleen pointed out, it's really the same thing as the motion to continue that failed.
But just state the motion.
No, there is no motion. I think it's.
I had previously moved to reconsider our failure to grant the hearing officer, approve the hearing officer's report. Until such time as Mr. Lovecki has had a chance to have a hearing and present his argument. But as Colleen just pointed out, that's really the same thing as continuing the matter until he gets a hearing. So I withdrew my motion.
So there is no motion on the...
No.
I don't think so. I
think that, just from my understanding of Robert's rules, is that he wouldn't be able to make a motion because he voted for it. It would be somebody that voted against that.
No, I voted against it.
If we're talking about going back to your original motion.
No, I was moving to reconsider the motion that just failed, the second motion.
What, to take this up again?
Yeah.
The same vote?
Yeah. But
it's changed.
At such time as he gets a hearing, right. And because I voted in the negative, I'm entitled to move to reconsider. Sorry.
I voted in the negative for your original proposal, and if I vote to reconsider that, then I vote yes.
You could do that.
But I don't know is it still on the table, or did it after it failed to pass, is it still?
You would move to reconsider the first motion? I think that puts us in the same position as we are. That's why I withdrew mine.
Okay, that's why I just wanted to try to look for rhythm.
So where else can we go from here?
Well, my suggestion was to potentially reconsider it to see, in view of what happened on the first vote, if anybody had, second thoughts about resurrecting the reopening, that sort of thing. So I think you would first move to just reconsider the report and vote on that. And then second, you would potentially make a motion, either of the same kind or not. So as of right now, the report has failed. We can go back and, as staff, we can go back and look to see if there's any other options to do on a failed report. I don't think that that's ever happened. We've usually found a way to resurrect so that we reach resolution in one way or another. But
I think, to be honest with you, if we move to reconsider, either I do it or Matt does it on the other motion, we're going to end up in the same position. So this is just
unless we can persuade people.
Unless somebody
takes discussion.
Yes.
Is there
another option potentially would be to ask us to put it on our agenda again. The hearing officer is not here. I don't know that she would have anything more to add, but I think I represented pretty much what she had relayed to me regarding it. But
we could try that.
I think we should try if someone is willing to move to reconsider. Mr. Streeter has indicated that it has to be someone who voted no on your first motion.
Right.
So it can't
Commissioner Goldsby, I move to reconsider.
So you move to reconsider Commissioner Einhorn's original motion.
I think you should first move to reconsider the matter in general, because it's now failed. So maybe we'll do that and get consensus around that. I don't know. And then move on to see
if voted no on them.
There's another motion.
Okay.
All right. So, Commissioner Goldsby, your motion is what?
I move that we reconsider the matter in general.
Did you vote for it or against?
No, I voted against it the first time.
No, I'm talking about the most recent vote.
So the most recent vote, I voted, no, I don't remember. No, I voted for, so that means I
That's what I was saying.
Oh, I see, yeah, okay.
I moved to reconsider it, but you didn't like the caveat I added at the end about until such time.
The first part is just to move to
right.
take it up again without any...
All right, I'll do that. I'll move to reconsider okay. the hearing officer's report.
Is there a second?
It has to be someone else, I think, who voted no.
Is there a second?
Sure, yes.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion?
So what we are voting on is to reconsider this matter at an appropriate time.
No, right now.
Right now.
We want to do it right now, and so it means a revote.
It's a revote.
Just a revote.
Okay, step number one. Okay.
Yeah, it's just a revote
okay.
of the hearing officer's report to see if anybody changes their mind.
Okay.
It's a revote on the dismissal.
Yes.
Yeah. I will say that we've been very generous to pro se litigants in the past, and Commissioner Einhorn, everyone has made excellent arguments, and they've all been very persuasive on both sides. But I do think that this litigant is pro se. He was left without an attorney for whatever reason. No comment on what the attorney did or how the attorney handled the case. But I think in an abundance of caution, we should err in the favor of a pro se litigant and give them their day in court. That doesn't mean you're going to win, sir. That doesn't mean you're going to win. But I do think that they should have an opportunity to be heard. And he's waited a long time. This is an old case. And I think that he should have that opportunity.
I'm still in a position of seconding that argument as an argument. I think that's the essence of what's in my heart or my mind at this moment.
This is Commissioner Hankins.
Let's take the vote so that we should.
Are we going to discuss it?
We're discussing it. Whether we're opening it back up.
Right.
I don't want
to.
It sounds like you're talking about
yeah.
the whole case.
We're going
to
need two.
We
motions.
Have to get it back onto the. You know,
the first motion.
The whole thing. We're only talking right now.
Okay.
About opening.
You get to
now.
Get to get to two. You have to get through one.
I
have to get through the gate.
May I?
Commissioner Hankins wanted to say something during discussion.
Yeah. Okay. I'll change my vote to a yes. All right. It's not going to, in the long run, I like John Maynard Keynes says, we're all dead. I think in the long run, I don't think it's going to work because I've heard essentially the gravamen of the case in chief and probably beyond it. But I will change my vote to reconsider it as opposed to a no.
Can I ask for clarification on the motion? I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Right now, we're
we
just
haven't
voting.
Even voted to take it back up.
Right.
Exactly.
We
right.
have to do
yeah.
that first.
Let's
and we're having all
that.
This side conversation about what we're going to do after we do
yes.
it. We have to vote on what was the 4-4
Mr.
vote.
Mr. Blair, are you getting all this?
For reconsideration.
Be fun
for
doing
our
this.
Minutes.
But we're being recorded.
So. Why you're, I'm sorry.
One second. So I think... Matt is pointing something out, and he knows Robert's Rules of Order pretty well. So I'm going to let you elaborate because
okay.
we have a motion to take back up.
We have
this
a motion
dismissal,
to reconsider.
To reconsider the motions.
Yes, and it's been moved and seconded. We should have that vote so that we now have it
but
back on.
We're having
table.
Some discussion on that.
Yes. We're talking about what we would do after. What, you know, once we do that, then we can have this discussion back on the. Right now, it's basically sort of off, you know, it's like almost like basically on the table.
So you're stating we need
I'm saying we have to have a vote.
We have discussion.
A positive vote
yeah.
so that we can
okay.
continue.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That's
all right.
I'll,
yes.
the commissioner, yes.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it, Mr. Streeter. All right. So with that, I will take a vote on the motion. And those in favor, Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes. Reconsideration. Yes.
Commissioner Farish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee.
Yes.
Commissioner Ganswin.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes.
Now we can proceed.
Now we can proceed. Thank you.
Now we need somebody to move the hearing officer.
Mr. Chairman, I will move to reconsider the motion that was originally put before us by Commissioner Einhorn to continue the matter and schedule at earliest convenience.
Schedule for hearing.
Schedule for hearing at earliest.
You need a second for that?
I do.
Commissioner Ferrer, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion on that motion? Hearing none, I'm going to take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Ferrish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee.
No.
Commissioner Ganswin.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Nope. We're just moving to reconsider now. This isn't the actual motion that I made.
Yeah. So are we moving to reconsider? That's what I understood.
Yeah. Matt moved just to reconsider my motion.
Put that motion back.
To put it before us.
Right now, it's a failed motion.
Understood. Okay. Can I retract my vote?
Can Commissioner Goolsbee change your vote?
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. This is confusing. Yes.
Okay. And Commissioner Gansman vote. Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes.
So just for everybody, anybody can change the vote before the chairman calls.
Yes. So, yeah, you want to move there.
Okay, now I will, it's open. You can make the same motion.
Yes, I can. So, yeah, I would move to continue the matter so that Mr. Lavecchia can have a chance to be heard at the next scheduled, the next meeting to be scheduled as quickly as possible by the staff.
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion on that motion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Commissioner Ferrish.
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi.
Yes.
Commissioner Goolsbee.
No.
Commissioner Ganswin.
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter.
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes with one no. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If I might, Mr. Lavecchia,
please contact us with an attorney if you have an attorney, or expect that you will receive notice yourself for this. Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Okay.
I'm gonna go home and read Robert's Rules of Order.
Next is talk.
I gotta study it.
Docket number NYC 2022-0530, Mark Lamecki versus First Select Woman Town of Westport, et al. Will the parties please identify themselves for the record?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. Nicholas Bamonte of Bertram Moses on behalf of the respondents.
Good afternoon, Mark Lemke.
Thank you.
This is just...
I want to know, are these exhibits in the case? It's already in the records.
Yes.
We have to accept only the evidence that's in the record, so we can't.
Mr. Hankins, should we mark this over so that the response counsel can read it, and then we can just do the another case if it's ready?
I think that's appropriate, Commissioner Hankins. I mean,
oh, thank you.
I can just orally say it, and then it's in the record.
I'm not sure we need any written materials. If it's in the record, you can refer to the materials that are in the record, and we can, if we choose to look at them, we can gather them from the record. I know sometimes it's not clear if you haven't.
Mr. Chairman, can you allow me to comment on the prior case, please?
No.
All right. You know,
the parties have gone, and so it wouldn't be appropriate. So would you like to begin, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, and let me start with an email that is from the assistant town attorney from the...
And that's evidence in the record.
Yes.
Thank you.
To Aquarium's private counsel, gentleman Peter Olson. And I read it, it's just two lines. Peter, attached are materials that I received from the fire marshal, but which have not yet been sent out. I'll hold them until we talk. Have not is capitalized. These records were never disclosed. It's a clear sign that the town of Westport had a reason, indication, and then followed through by not making the records public. And this was just discovered 2 weeks ago when the hearing officer ordered the publication of those records. That being said, it feels to me that we are discussing a parking ticket of a bank robber that's on the other side of the street, robs the bank. So that's why I like to go a little bit into detail. I'm not sure, because it's very detailed, that you can do it without the attachment, but we'll try it. Dear Freedom of Information Commission, I'm grateful that the commission exists. Without the commission, I would not be able to get any documents from the town of Westport. According to local media, Westport has a transparency crisis. The town has not been disclosing public records as the law requires in this and other cases. Despite this, people in Westport who seek public records do not recommend seeking help from the commission. I asked the commission to stop the nonsense in Westport, make the law work for us again, starting with the case in front of you. I contend that the commission's draft ruling does not reflect the evidence in the record and wrongly applies the law. Here's why. It is undisputed that the town of Westport is requested to provide public records in a single matter that touches several agencies. It is undisputed that the town of Westport had named three senior lawyers, one is here today, to defend their conduct, a first one in Connecticut. The town of Westport testified that they had no interest in collaborating with the public disclosure when offered by the hearing officer. As of today, several hundred documents are outstanding. The town has partly delivered records, including more than 150 documents that are still believed, and I want to emphasize believed, to be privileged. Here's what is disputed. The town unlawfully colluded with the opposing private counsel that just read, resulting in a failure to deliver documents. The draft decision cites Lash versus Freedom of Information Commission ruling. The ruling does not apply. The draft decision states something different from what the assistant town attorney actually testified. It is stated that the first select woman forwarded the record request to other town agency as a courtesy. There's no evidence in the record that it was a courtesy. In fact, the opposite is true. The town has rejected, as I said, an offer to expedite the process. And the only person who has access to the files I requested is and was the first select woman. The town attorney do either not know or knowingly ignore the law. Specifically, the town's belief to be privileged claims are unlawfully brought. They did not apply the four-step test as required by law. By attaching public records to an email, the town claims exemption over public records. I'm happy to go into each and every point in detail. That's where the attachment comes into place. But as a result of the above, the draft decision is wrong and do not reflect the facts in the matter and the law. I ask the commission to reject the draft decision or make the following changes. Order all outstanding records to be provided immediately. order all privilege claims to be reviewed in camera. If not, order all requests in this single matter and complaints to be expedited and reviewed without delay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'll just quickly go through the facts that are relevant to this commission for purposes of this complaint. Really, what this was a records request that came in to the first select woman, Jennifer Tooker, and the first select woman alone by email on October 31st of last year. On November 4th, we acknowledged receipt, said we're working on it. That was November 4th. So then a week and a half after our acknowledgement, this complaint was filed. Nonetheless, over the course of several months, the first select woman's office compiled records that she believed to be responsive to the complainant's somewhat broad request that involved the construction of a water tank in town. So by February 1st of this year, the first select woman provided 253 pages, is I think what's cited in the proposed final decision. So that's by February. So that's a few months after the request came in. At that point, 10 records were being withheld for attorney-client privileged communications. Ultimately, in June, we gave up those 10 records as well. So everything responsive from the first select woman who this request went to has been provided to the complainant in substantial part by February 1st, but everything was provided as of June. So in that, we're voluntarily giving the attorney-client privilege what we believe to have been attorney-client privilege. However, during the course of the hearings in this case, through an affidavit that was filed at the request of the hearing officer, it was determined that the former first selectman, the records of the former first selectman, would also be within the custody of the current first select woman. So we agreed and said, okay, this request really touches the current first select person, Jennifer Tooker, and the former first select person, if there's any records still in the first select person's office that were essentially the former first select person's emails. So over the next 2 months after that, so by April of this year, we provided 211 emails of the former first selectman. 19 were withheld for attorney-client privilege. We did not ever produce those 19. So those actually were inspected by Attorney Harmon. An in-camera inspection was conducted on October 4th, and she confirmed that those emails were privileged, as is recited in the proposed final decision. So essentially, the town provided all the records of the public agency that was obligated to respond to this request. We heard from Mr. Lemke that his request also sought records from numerous other town departments and agencies. The first select woman did voluntarily go above and beyond the obligations of the act to forward the request to those other departments. And just very briefly, so within a month of the request, close to 300 pages of records were provided from the town attorney, 150 from the fire marshal. Within 2 months, 300 pages from the P&Z director, 250 from the former fire marshal. I mean, we go on. March and April, another 160 from the fire chief, 213 from the assistant town attorney. So, I mean, we're continuing to provide these other records to the extent we can, most of which we didn't withhold anything. I mean, if we're ever withholding emails, they're attorney-client privileged. We're not even going into a draft exemption. I mean, we're really trying to give him everything he's looking for and then some. But again, taking it back for purposes of this complaint, this appeal that's in front of the commission right now. Within 5 months of the request, the town first elect woman provided all the responsive records in her possession that were otherwise not legally exempt. And that's reflected in the proposed final decision. I don't have any other proposed changes to the final decision, and we would support adoption. The one final thing I'll just note, the complainant mentioned the Lash case. That is the primary source of law that informs the underlying doctrine here, that one public agency is not obligated under the Act to then bring in other separate public agencies and have that request similarly apply to those other agencies. So bottom line, again, first elect person, the only real respondent here, provided all the records as promptly as possible that were required under the law.
Thank you.
Well, as I said, it's true that documents were delivered that were not complete. I said it and I wrote it, especially after the order for disclosure. I asked a question, a couple of questions regarding those disclosed documents. The town did not respond. The commission was in copy. So as of today, I say they are incomplete.
Thank you. Do any commissioners have any questions?
Yeah. This Commissioner Fusashi, I don't have a question, but this is both in this case and this next case. This Lash, this thing we're ruling on the next one. This Lash case is cited, and either, you know, I see that Attorney Harmon is not here, but for me, and I don't want to take too much time on this, but it does raise an interesting policy question, and I'd like to understand at some point the clarity of the law on this. So I understand different agencies, but from a public perspective, if I'm a person and I want records from the town of New Haven, are you saying Lash would require me to go to the fire department, the police, and each of those would have to, and there's no funnel through which I as a citizen can go to get a more comprehensive answer without putting the town, without a funnel through me having to ask for departments that I guess might have been involved with this. Is that your analysis of Lash?
It is, Commissioner.
Is that are there other people? I take your analysis of that. I would love to hear further analysis of that at some point, either the next case, maybe your analysis in this case. But that, to me, the public policy matter raises an interesting lines of how public disclosure can be most efficiently and fairly handled with cities in particular.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, it is even worse than you're saying. I requested the documents from the first selectman because the town attorney ordered me to go to the town's website. On the town's website, there are no former employees. The head of each agency has no access to the records of former employees. Only, and the town attorney testified that, only the town first selectman has. If that's indeed true, that would mean, and this happened in this case, the fire marshal sent the documents to the first selectman's office or to the town attorney office, and that's, no, we don't give it out. So imagine what you say, and I agree, the fire department would send the records to the police department and say, you look over my records whether I should publish them or not. Nobody would do that. But that's essentially why Lash in this case is entirely and completely the wrong basis.
just for the record, I would just submit from the respondent's perspective, that's a complete misrepresentation of how the town of Westport, at least, handles FOIA requests, including the complainant's request. That issue
here. As a legal matter, the point you're making about Lash, it's as broad as your...
It is. I mean, Commissioner, the Lash case, the I mean, if you want to spend some time reading it, the appellate court case is really the one that talks about the crux of what you're discussing here. But, I mean, technically, that is the law. It turns on the specific wording of town charters and just how much oversight for select persons, for example, have over separate agencies.
For example, a mayor who's in charge of the police department in a different town might have a different result.
It's possible.
I would assume so. The structure of the town government does not equally apply to every structure of every.
That's fair. Generally, though, more consistently, I haven't seen an instance where the Lash case has not applied to a municipal.
Decided the next decision. Well,
I mean, I don't know the next, but.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to. Any further? We're not litigating Lash, but for me, there was a. Eye opening in a way.
Any further questions?
Sorry, thank you.
Any further discussion? And entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of the hearing officer report.
Commissioner Hampton, second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Farish?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Goldsby?
Yes.
Commissioner Gansman?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously.
Thank you both. Thank you, everyone.
Yes. You want to take a break?
Yes, sure. We'll take a break.
We'll be back in 5.
I was going to bet against you. I'm going to say it's over by 3:30. It's the 5. Because it's the 5.
It's the 5.
You got it? Okay. I'm going to ask Robert to...